Let us begin. I wanted to give you a, what I want to do is go through a little bit of a sugya with you together. That'll kind of frame Chag HaSukkos for you. And then I want to just address on a more global, both on a hashkafic level and, you know, what I think as we get ready for Sukkos, what we can glean from, what we can take out of it, and what it's all about. So the Mishnah in the first daf, the first Mishnah Maseches Sukkah, tells us that a sukkah is pasul lamala mishloshim ama. Mi esim ama. And the Gemara wants to know why. What's the reason for that? And the Gemara tells us, Minohan emili rabba de amar kro leman yedu dorasechem kibas sukkos so shavtis mei Yisrael. Ad esim ama adam yodea shudar ba sukkah. Lamal mi esim ama ein adam yodea Shedar basuka mishum de lo sholta ba eina. So the Gemara tells us that above 20 amos, when a person's walking, when a person's around, his general direction is to look straight. He doesn't look up, and therefore, in general, above 20 amos lo sholta ba eina, my eyesight, my perception is limited, and therefore, above 20 amos is going to be possible because the Torah demands leman yedu dorosechem ki basuka soshatis bnei Yisrael. Is that we have to have a perception, a cognition, a realization that we are sitting in sukkahs, and if the ceiling is too high, we're not going to have that perception, realization. We find this halacha also, for example, when it comes to Neros Chanukah. Neros Chanukah, above 20 amos, you have to perceive the Neros. You need Pirsume Nisa. Above Esrim Ama, you do not have that. We also have this halacha in the area of Hilchos Erevin. The first Mishnah Maseches Erevin discusses a mavoi. If you want a korah, a beam that allows you to carry in a mavoi, it has to be below 20 amos. Otherwise, you don't perceive it, lo shilta ba'ena, and that is what you find over here. So that's Rabba's shita. The Gemara gives two other shitas, but we're going to focus on this idea that above 20 amos is no good because the Torah says l'man yedu. It's a very, very famous tour. The tour is found in the beginning of Hilchos Sukkah, Simen Tav Reish Chafei. Who is the tour? The tour is, yes, correct. His name was Rav Yaakov ben Asher. And the Asher is a very well-known Asher, Rabbeinu Asher the Rosh. The tour was one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, one of the later Rishonim. And the tour is most known, again, his father was the Rosh, and he's most known for, he was one of the earlier codifiers of Halacha. And he wrote a very, very well-known Sefer. What's the Sefer that he wrote, of course? Well, he wrote more than Or HaChaim. That's one sefer. What did he call his sefer? Why is he called the Tour? His name is Rav Yaakov ben Asher. Why is he called the Tour? He wrote the Tour. Which is really known as the Arba Turim. It's the Arba Turim, the four Turim. What is a Tour? That's correct. The Tour is a pillar. A pillar. So he wrote the four pillars. What are the four pillars, of course? Arachaim Yardeh, Choshe Mishpat, and Evan Ezer. Those are the four pillars. He codified all of Halacha. He collected the Gemaras and the Kor Rishonim, and he brought down the Psak Halacha. He did it in a very clear chronological order. And the tour, after he wrote his Sefer, again, this is in the probably late 1400s or so, early 1500s, late 1300s, early 1400s. Then a century and a half later, came along the Shulchan Aruch, who wrote a major commentary on the tour, known as the? Known as the Beis Yosef. That was a major commentary written on the tour, a real magnum opus. My Beis Yosef at home is approximately 22 volumes. Big, big, big sefer. And then he decided, the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo, that big, 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 big commentary on the tour called the Beis Yosef, he decided to also write an abridged version that basically kids could learn in school. As a kind of little handbook, and then he also for adults to chazer every single 30 days. So he wrote the abridged version of the Beis Yosef, and he called that the Shulchan Aruch. He didn't call it the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch; he called it the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch, and that was the abridged version of the Beis Yosef, and that became the basis of normative Psak Halacha. It was never meant to be what it was; it was meant for little children in cheder, but it became much bigger than that. So the tour was the beginning of that process. The tour writes in the beginning, so the tour is safer. The Arba Turim, if I would classify it as what kind of safer is it? Is it a Machshava safer, a safer on Chumash, or a safer on Halacha? It's a Halacha safer. So how does he open up this set of Halachas? He writes as follows. So the tour says, Basukos teisha shivas yamim, leman yedu dorosen ki basukos hoshavtis bnei Yisrael b'otzi osam, tola akas mitzvah sukkah b'tzias mitzrayim. So the mitzvah sukkah is linked in the pasuk t'yatzias mitzrayim. V'chein harbe mitzvos, Why? Lefisu davar shirainu be'einenu vazneinu. Because Yitzias Mitzrayim is the basis of our emunah. Because we as a nation saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu do miracle after miracle after miracle in a very, very public way, and it became a basis of our emunah. And as a result, Himora al Amisas Mitzias HaBore. It elucidates for us the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Borei Olam, who did not just create, but also rules. HaMemshalah, he rules over the world. He controls the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. La'asot bem kirtzono. And no one can say otherwise, because these osos mosim v'hasukos. Sh'omer HaKosav. And when we speak about the sukkahs, HaKashem took us out in sukkos. What does it mean he took us out in sukkos? A sukkah is a canopy, a covering of sorts. So what does it mean? So says the Tur, Heim Anone HaKavod. They are the Anone HaKavod. How do you translate that in English? The clouds of glory. The clouds of glory. The Anone HaKavod that surrounded the Jewish people so that sun and heat and the like would not go ahead and afflict us. And therefore, as a zecher to that mace, we go ahead and put up Sukkot. And indeed, the Torah asks the question, if that's the whole purpose of Sukkot as a zecher l'Anone HaKavod, so why are we going ahead and celebrating Sukkot in Tishrei? We should really celebrate Sukkot when? In Nisan. And says the Torah, a very European answer, is that the Torah basically artificially uprooted Sukkot from Nisan and shifted it to Tishrei because Nisan, there wouldn't have been a heker that we're doing this for the mitzvah, because Nisan time in the spring in Europe, it's very geschmack. It's nice. People want to go outside and sit in huts and the like and enjoy the good weather. Tishrei is a time when it starts to be the rainy season, and therefore there wouldn't be a heker, a noticeable reason that we're going. It would seem like if you go out in Nisan, we're doing it because it's a nice time of year, not because of the mitzvah. We want to make it clear. Shloshei mitzvah, says the Torah, that is why Sukkot is celebrated in Tishrei. And as I mentioned to some of you in Seder, it seems to be a very European kind of answer. In other parts of the world, the weather is quite good in Tishrei. In Eretz Yisrael, it's actually a bit on the hot side. You have to talk about heat, etc. There must be something deeper, something else we can suggest why the mitzvah of Sukkah is specifically in Tishrei and not, perhaps, where it more appropriately belongs in Nisan. We'll come back to that in a second. The Bach, who is the Bach while we're at it? Wrote a sefer called the Bayis Chadash, hence the Bach. His name is Rav Yoel Xerxes. Where did he live? He lived in Poland, 16th century, Krakow, Poland, father-in-law of none other than Rav David Halevi, who is none other than the author of the Taz, the Turei Zahav. And is buried in Krakow, Poland. Bez Hashem, COVID will be behind us soon, and then we'll visit Poland, and you'll visit the kever of the Bach. In any event, the Bach wrote a perish on the Torah, and the Bach is bothered by the following very, very core kasha. Says the Bach, I don't understand. The Torah is a halacha sefer. When you look at a halacha sefer, what you see in halacha sefer is halacha after halacha after halacha. All of a sudden over here, the Torah is waxing poetic. And he's talking about Tamei HaMitzvahs, and Emunah, and belief in God, and Anan HaKavod. And these are really, really, really nice ideas. And very beautiful ideas and very chashuv ideas. But it's not very characteristic of the Torah. In the Torah, you will find a sukkah has to be this dimension, can't be 20 yamas tall, has to be bigger than 7 tefachim, has to be all the laws. This is very unusual that the Torah will start to wax poetic in the way waxing, and that's what the Bach writes over here. He says, "Ikal amed b'dvei Rabbeinu she'ein zeh midakam chiburo zeh." This is not the way of his chibur. Var havana l'shum mikra shabat Torah ki lo bo rak lifso korah. The role of the Torah is to paskin shilas. Olahoas minach v'po herich levar v'lidro shamikra. And all of a sudden he's giving darshanas on psukim. What exactly is going on? V'yirili. So explains the Bach the following idea. He says, this too is halach. This too is halachic. And he says there's a yesod over here. What is the yesod? The yesod is that you need to know the reasons we sit in Sukkah. Leman yedu dorosechem. You need to know the reason. Because if you sit in the Sukkah without a real cognition perspective understanding of what you're doing and why you're doing it, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. And that's different than other mitzvahs, because in other mitzvahs, yeah, they might have machlokas, mitzvahs, trichos kavana, ain't trichos kavana. You have to have kavana that you're doing a mitzvah. But to know the tam ha-mitzvah, that, you don't have to know the tam ha-mitzvah. You don't have to know all the philosophy and all the ideas behind the mitzvah. You eat matzah thinking, knowing this is matzah, I'm doing a mitzvah, that's it. You don't have to know all the deep stuff. When it comes to sukkah, he says, since the Torah gave you the reason for the mitzvah, and the Torah said, Laman Yehidu, do this mitzvah because I took you out of Mitzrayim and I want you to remember Anani HaKavod, if you do the mitzvah without that kavana, you're not Yotze. You're not Yotze. And therefore, the waxing poetic is not just philosophy, but it's part of the mitzvah. So you better understand what it's all about. And then he says, there's two other mitzvahs you have this by as well. What are the two other mitzvahs you have it by? You have it by the mitzvah tzitzis, where the Torah says, where tzitzis, leman tizkeru, so that you will remember kol mitzvah Hashem. And you find it by tefillin as well. Where tefillin, why? Leman tia Torah Hashem beficha. These are the mitzvahs we have is leman. And therefore the kavana, the philosophy, the tam ha-mitzvah, becomes organically integrated into the mitzvah, and as such, your kiyum ha-mitzvah is flawed if you don't walk into the sikla with that understanding. That's the chiddush of the Bach within the Torah. Yes, Irving.
What about something like kibud al vaheim, or kareidas,
leman what? Leman yarichun yamecha. That's the that's the reward for the mitzvah. It's giving you the reward, but it's not telling you the tam ha-mitzvah. Yeah.
Does that mean every other mitzvah has a
hope? No. Every other mitzvah might have a reason, but the Torah here, because the Torah gave you the reason, you might speculate the reason, and that's good, and it has a reason. But here, the Torah gave you the reason, which meant that now the reason is incorporated into the kiyum mitzvah. A precedent for this idea that where the Torah gives you the reason, that will inform the reason. I asked you, did anyone see the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Tezvav? Anyone else? Very few. You saw this Mara Malcolm, and I saw Nate Sukar Shlita. He said, why are we doing this? What do I have to do with Sukkah? I told him I'd offer him $1 million if he could figure it out. I am not gonna. If you get it, if you say yes, exactly what I had in mind, I will cash it. But I'm not worried.
Bro, you got a million in the bank.
It is a crazy, crazy reach because like it's the only thing I could think of that connects it. It was.
Is this worth our time right now? What? Is this worth our time right now?
Maybe not. But I'm gonna try it anyways.
Okay. Just because I have to write something on the board, I'll humor you.
We're gonna vote who's better.
It says the Gemara Ve'atim Mishiyah Shamra.
Okay, very good. Let's go on.
That's a no. I guess that's a no.
I'm okay. Nervous.
not even a scintilla of nervousness.
Okay, Can I finish?
No, let's not. Okay, Rav Ozai, watch this. The Gemara discusses the following shaila. The Torah tells us you're not allowed to take a mashkon, a collateral from an almana. An almana is a widow. She doesn't have a lot of money. The Torah says, "Ein memashkon so lo tachpo beged almana." You can't take a beged of an almana as a mashkon. Now, okay, that's halacha. Now there's a machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. When it says lo tachpo beged almana, it's going to open up the Gemara for a very, very quick second. It tells us, the Tanakhama, the Mishnah says, Bein she aniya, bein she ashira, ein memashkin rosa. Whether she's wealthy or whether she's poor, you can't take a collateral from an almana. Lo tachpo beged almana. And then the Gemara cites, Almana ben she'aniyah ben she'ashira ein mashkan so de Rav Yehuda. Rav Shimon omer, ashira memashkan so aniyah ein memashkan so. So it's machlokas when it comes to Almana. Rav Shimon, Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Yehuda, which is the Mishnah, says, ben aniyah ben ashira. Whether she is rich or whether she's poor, you can't take a collateral. And Rav Shimon says, no. If she's aniya, aser. If she's ashira, is mut. Why would it be that if she's ashira, you can go ahead and take the mashkon, and only if she's aniya is you can't? Yes?
So when you're a poor person, you need to sell it back. You have to give it back to the person. If like if you're the only client for the person before, you have to give it back to them if they need it. So there was like a thing about how.
You're talking too much, Nate. Just
they think that you're, if you can pull it back, then you might.
Why can you not take a mask from an almana?
Oh.
What's the reason?
Because she doesn't have a husband.
She doesn't have a husband. So what? She's a nebuch. She's a nebuch. She's probably out of sorts. She's a nebuch, so she needs money. She needs money probably for food and the like and just to survive. And now you're going to go and lend her money and what? And you're going to also take collateral? Give me your clothing just because I don't trust you to pay me back? That's, the Torah says, she's a nebuch. So give her the loan, hope for the best, don't take collateral. Says Rav Shimon, that's true, b'amid var mamurim, when she's a what? When she's a nebuch. But let's say she's not a nebuch. Let's say her husband was a gazillionaire. He died, she inherited him, and she's pretty good, she's okay. Why does she want a loan? Because she's investing in some huge real estate project. She's not a nebuch. So then can you take a mashkon from her? So then you can take a mashkon. That's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, Bein aniyah bein ashira, you're not allowed to take a mashkon. What's the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? The machlokas is as follows. When the Torah says, ahalach, do we, that's the halacha. Pasuk says, lo sachbo beged almana. You can't take a mashkon. Do we say, okay, that's the halacha. It's a bottom line. It's black and white. And I don't care if she's ashira or aniya. That's the deal. Or do we try and analyze what exactly is the reason that the Torah doesn't want us to take a mashkon from an almana? What's the reason over here? The reason is presumably because she's a nebuch. And comes along Rav Shimon and says an unbelievable idea. Darshinan taima dikra. Is that we'll look at what we assume is the reason for the halacha, and the reason for the halacha will inform the parameters and definitions of the halacha. Rav Shimon says darshinan taima dikra. And what does Rav Yehuda say? Lo darshinan taima dikra. And that's the machlokas, Rav Shimon, Rav Yehuda. Good.
I was
going to
say that.
Didn't
they switch it afterwards?
Then the Gemara asks Akasha. Then the Gemara asks Akasha. What's the Kasha? The Gemara asks. Let's look at another sugya. The sugya of Melech Lo Yarbe Lo Nashim. A king is not allowed to have many, many, many wives. What's called too many wives?
Over
18 wives is too many wives. King is not allowed to have many, many, many wives. Now, Gemara says, Lo yarbe lo nashim, Rav Yehuda Omer, and Rav Yehuda says, but if he knows himself, and he knows his wives, and they're all big, 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 big sitkanios, so Rabbi Yehuda says, well, if they, as long as they're sitkanios, then yachol laharbos. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon says, no, lo yarb. Lo yarb. So what's the Gemara's kasha? What's the reason that a king is not allowed to have many wives? Because they're going to pull him off the derech. That's the reason. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, but if you know that your wives are like Lamed Vavniks, then you can marry Lamed Vavnik. You can marry 36. You can marry more.
Oh,
But Rabbi Shimon says, no. It says, lo yar below, lo yar below. End of story. So Rabbi Osa, what's Rabbi Shimon holding over here? Lo darshinan tamei dekra. What is Rabbi Yehuda say? Darshinan tamei dekra. So it's a stira. So the Gemara answers, the answer is, why does Rabbi Yehuda flip his position? Because there's a big difference between Melech lo yarbelo nashim and this case. We're going to focus on Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what it says by kings? Lo yarbelo nashim, pen lest yasir levavo, lest they create, pull him away, pull his heart away from Hashem. In other words, here, the pasuk says, pen yasir levavo. The pasuk says, lest they go ahead and pull him away. What then is Rabbi Yehuda's shita? Darshinan tamei dekra or lo darshinan tamei dekra?
Darshinan tamei dekra only if it mentions the...
If the tam is in the pasuk itself, then the reason will impact the definition of the halacha. But if the tam, if the reason is my own philosophical speculation, it's not going to inform halacha. So in other words, says Rabbi Yehuda, normally lo dar, but when the Torah goes away to what? Tell you, don't have a lot of wise because it might pull you off, then yes, the tam, the reason is built into the halacha and will redefine the halacha, but only if it's in the pasuk. Why do I say, Avi Kohn, this is relevant to our sugya? Because where did the Bach get his idea from? Where does the Bach get his idea that if the Torah says, Laman Yedu Dorosechem, if the Torah says by Tzitzis, Laman Tiskru, if the Torah says by Tfil, Laman Tia Torah San Shem Beficha, yes, when the Torah gives you the reason. So Rabbi Yehuda teaches us that the reason becomes built in. Built into the takana, built into the halacha. This is by Lota Aseis. And says the Bach, says the Tur, it's even by Mitzvah Aseis. Which means that what emerges is that when you walk into a sukkah, because the Torah says Laman Yedu, you have to have that in mind. I'm just going to very quickly, in 1 minute, give you one illustration of this idea as well. Take a look at the bracketed statement of that I gave you on the sheet. Look at source 6 and 7. The Torah says in Parshas Vayelech, the Ata now kisru lachem es hashira hazos. You shall write for yourself this song, the Lamda es B'nei Yisrael, in order to teach the Jewish people. Says the Pasuk, this is the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Every person should write, has a mitzvah, mitzvah 613. The last of the mitzvahs is to write your own Sefer Torah. Says the Pasuk, write your own Sefer Torah. Why? The Lamda es B'nei Yisrael. In order to teach and to learn Torah. So comes along the Rush, and the Rush wants to know, Bizman HaZeh, do we learn Torah from the Sefer Torah? That's not how we learn Torah. Since the Torah says, do this mitzvah, Bilamda, in order to teach Torah to the Jewish people, Bizman HaZeh, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah by buying Sfarim. By buying Sfarim today, learning Torah is not from Sifrei Torah, but from Sfarim. So the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah can be done from purchasing Sfarim, and that, I believe, emerges from this discussion. Okay, what I want to now do is quickly, in 5 to 8 minutes, shift gears and focus a little bit on the Hashkafa of Chag HaSukkos in general, Mitzvah Sukkah, and perhaps a little bit about Dalet Minim. And we'll do it quick, and I just want to highlight. So the Tur says the reason Sukkot is now is because Yemos HaGashamim. We want to shift it from Nisan to Tisha because Yemos HaGashamim. There's a very famous, well-known comment of the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon has a very sharp approach to why we celebrate Sukkot now. It has nothing to do with temperatures and weathers and Europe and none of that. He says, what happened on Yom Kippur historically back in the day? Why is Yom Kippur Yud Tishrei a day of Slicha u'mechila v'kapara? Because Yom Kippur is the day where Moshe went back up post Chet HaEgel, brought down the Luchos Shnios, and post Chet HaEgel, and we were back in Hashem's graces after the Egel Azav. That happened on Yom Kippur. We davened, we said the Slichos, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum, and we came down with Luchos Shnios. After we came down, Yud Aleph Tishrei, the next day, Hashem said, you know what? Let's build a Mishkan. Let's build a Mishkan. The next 2 days, the Torah says, Baboker, Baboker, the Jews collected all their things and brought it to Moshe Rabbeinu to Bezalel. On Yud Aleph, 4 days later, Tishrei, they started to construct a Mishkan. And on Tezvav, the Anane HaKavod were over the Mishkan. Says the Gra, Sukkot is the climax of the tshuva of Yom Kippur, where we did our tshuva on Yom Kippur, and now the illustration, the revelation that Hashem accepted it completely was the Anane HaKavod, these Anane HaKavod, which rested on the Mishkan, the Hakamas HaMishkan, Tes Vav Nisan. And I think what you will find very interesting is that when it comes to Yom Kippur Sukkot, the very striking Chagim, very opposite, very different, but they echo each other. When I think about Yom Kippur, and I'm not going to go through the Pesukim with you, but each of Yom Kippur and Sukkot opens up in the Chumash and Parshas Emma, we'll read the Torah on Shabbos, opens up with the word ach. What does the word ach mean? It means like however. In the Parshas HaMoadim, every other holiday is in a certain sense similar to each other. There are two extreme chagim in the Parshas HaMoadim. Extreme number one is Yom HaKippur. And it's obvious how it's an extreme day. It's a day, it's a yontif of the inisim es nafsho seichem, of self-affliction. It's a unique day. And I would call it the paradigmatic day of yiras Hashem. Not fear, but awe of Hashem. It's a day of yira, no food, no drink, no relationships with one's wife, no leather shoes, no physical pleasures. It's a day of yira. Sukkot, on the other hand, is an extreme day also. Days. These are days of, not Yira, but days of Simcha. Where it's also different than all the other Chagim. When it comes to Chagim, it's not just a Zman Matan Torah Seinu, a Zman Zeichlet Yitzias Mitzrayim, it is a Zman Simcha Seinu. And it's permeating an Avoda of Simcha. Whereas Yom Kippur is Avoda Meira, Ivdu Es Hashem Beira Vegilu Bira Ada. Sukkot is Ivdu Es Hashem Besimcha Bo Lefanav Birnana. And there's a very famous Gemara in Maseches Beitza, beginning of the second parak, describes Yontif in general. And there's a big machlokas, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. According to the Torah, has a stira. On the one hand, it describes Yontif as Atzeres Tia Lochem. On the other hand, it says Atzeres LaHashem Elokeichem. So what is it? LaHashem or Lochem? And the Gemara has two views. One view is Rabbi Eliezer's view. Oh, Kulo LaHashem, Oh, Kulo Lochem. When the Torah says both, it means you choose. But either you celebrate Yom Tovim as Shul Beis Medrash, as your focus, and you celebrate Hashem in that fashion, or Sudos and a Lochem orientation. That was Rabbi Eliezer. O kul Hashem, O kul Lachem. And the Gemara describes Rabbi Elazar would sit and shear. He'd give shear in the morning right after Shachris, and he'd go all day long. He'd start with 400 people in the room. By the end of the day, there were 10 people left. Kul Hashem. Rabbi Yerushua says no. Rabbi Yerushua says, Chelkeyu. Chelkeyu. Divide your day. Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. Suda, Tfilah, Beis Medrash, Suda, back and forth, back and forth. And that's generally what we do. We do Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. However, I would posit to you and I would submit to you that there's two holidays that represent the paradigm of Lahashem and Lachem. Yom Kippur is Kul Hashem. We're in shul all day. We're not engaged in any Lachem. It's an experience of connectivity to Hashem via Kul Hashem. Atzeres Lashem Elokeichem. Sukkos, where we dwell in Sukkah, we take very physical meaning. We have sudos, man simchas, senu simchas, beis ha-shoeva. It's days of kulo lachem. But the two are really, and that's what I want to impress upon you, two sides of the same coin. Because you will find, is Yom Kippur a day that echoes, that has simcha in it? Or is it exclusively Yira? Yom Kippur has simcha too. We dance, we sing on Yom Kippur. There's that element as well. We celebrate our tshuva. Sukkos has echoes of Yom Kippur. Notice, we're still saying L'David Hashem Ori, even till the end of Sukkos. On Hoshana Rabbah, we're going to bring back our kittel, the Baal Tefillah will. We're going to bring back some Yom Kippur Nigunim. We're going to have a day, one last day, of tshuva that is Hoshana Rabbah. We will, it's interesting, even the days we're in right now, the bridge days between Sukkos and, if it's Yom Kippur and Sukkos, so the last halacha, what's the first thing we do when it comes to Motzei Yom Kippur? We build our sukkah to highlight that bridge. We don't say tachron these days, to emphasize and highlight this bridge. On Sukkos, we're going to say Koheles, which tells us, Hevel Havalim HaKol Hevel, that don't get excessive in your sense of simcha. So the two days really echo each other and are models of avoda mei simcha and avoda meira. And I'll just close with, when you think about the mitzvah of sukkah and the mitzvah of dalad minim, even those mitzvahs highlight these concepts. Because when we think about dalad minim, the word that emerges, the concept that emerges in dalad minim is beauty, is physicality, pre-eitz hadar. And we want an esrog mehuderet, a beautiful esrog. We don't suffice with minimalistic. We strive for beautiful, beautiful arba minim. And we say, we use the arba minim during halel as a reflection of taking physical, taking simcha, taking joy, and elevating it in that fashion. The mitzvah of arba minim is derek gedilasan, the way they grow, lekicha tama, a perfected lekicha of creates other, of taking physical, elevating, of simcha. The sukkah is very, very different. The sukkah, you take junk. You're supposed to build your sukkah with junk. Psoles. The junk, that's what you build your sukkah with. The psoles goren v'yekev. That's what you build your sukkah with. You're in sparse conditions. There are halachos in sukkah of lavud, which you've learned, of good achis, of good asik, where you can have space in your sukkah, you can have emptiness in your sukkah, these halachic constructs. It's a very kind of sparse kind of hut, yet it highlights our absolute reliance on the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's what it represents. And from that sense of reliance, from that sense of sparseness, of minimalisticness. We see this elsewhere as well. Har Sinai was a low mountain. The Sneh, where Moshe had his revelation, was a lowly tree. Not significance. From sparseness comes our greatest of connectivity. And that's the duality of Chag HaSukkos, reflected in the Mitzvah Sayyom. So, we find ourselves in these days in between Yom Kippur, which is the Avoda Meira par excellence, and Chag HaSukkos, which is the Avoda Besimcha par excellence. But perhaps the overarching message, Arba Minim, Priyetz Hadar, we only take during the daytime. Sukkah, we live in the Sukkah 24/7. It's a day-night mitzvah. We sleep in the Sukkah, ideally. And the concept is that we envelop ourselves with our relationship with Hashem, with that connection to Hashem, and that being lifnei Hashem Elokeichem brings us our highest level of simcha, our most profound and deep sense of connectivity. That is what it means, Zman Simchasenu, and we should all be zoche to take the power and the yira of Yom Kippur, channel it into the avoda of simcha, of Chag HaSukkos, and then Bez Hashem bring us to that sense of Leman Yedu Dorosechem, that our full generation will understand the unique relation that Knesset will have with Hashem, and bring that forward to give us a Shana Tova and a meaningful Chag HaSukkos. Thank you.